Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Val's Corner. I am your host, Valerie Broplay, and you're having Corner Conversation with Val. Welcome back, guys, to episode 3 of season 2. What? This is the most consistent I've ever been, guys. I'm so excited. So, yes, welcome back. I hope this episode blesses you. It blessed me and it convicted me before I'm over here talking about it. And this was a topic. I know I already spoke about it because you can tell by the title of today's video. But when God told me I had to talk about it again, I was like, but I already spoke about this. Like, Lord, like, what is it that I need to learn from this? When I tell you the title obedience have been so heavy on my heart, like when I tell you, like, well, it's no joke. And throughout the week, I've got confirmation to speak about it and things like that. So it's like, even after I did the episode about obedience and things like that, there's so much I felt like I could have said. I was like, oh my gosh, I could have said this. I could have said that. Oh my gosh, I should have said this. Like, there was so much I felt like I had more to say about it. But I was like, you know, I already did it. Like, I could try to put it in because obedience is very important. That's the whole point of our relationship with God, is being obedient to Him. So, like, obedience is just something we have to keep learning through our faith walk, if that makes sense. So we're talking about obedience in the waiting. And what's crazy is when I tell you, like, when God told me to talk about this, I'm like, those are two things I've already spoken about. Like, what new revelation or perspective you have for me, and he delivered. So throughout the week, there were people talking about obedience, about us Christian being a people in the Bible who was obedient, things like that. So it's like, it's a topic we need to keep talking about it, because I knew obedience was important, but like, I didn't know how important it was. Like, the whole Bible is filled with people either being obedient or disobedient to God. Like, it was either one or the other. So it's like, or sometimes they were obedient at first, and then they went back and was disobedient to God. So the more I talk and things like that, you're going to hear some people who was, and it blew my mind, because I studied for this a little bit, but also God wanted me to talk about my experience of how being obedient in the waiting, things like that, and how I've been disobedient to God without even knowing it. Because so many times we think, we're not being disobedient, or we're not listening to God, or we think we're doing what we're supposed to do, when realistically we're not. And that happened to me a lot the more I was studying. I'm like, yo, me not doing what I'm supposed to do is being disobedient to God, because He tells us to do it. So, like, when I decided not to read my Bible because I was tired or I didn't feel like it, that was me being disobedient, because He tells us to renew our mind daily. So me not going by what His word is saying is a form of disobedience. So it's like it's like sin. I feel like I think of disobedience to God as like a sin as well, because He tells us to do something in His word, and when we don't do it, we're sinning. So every day when you're being disobedient, even to your parents, you get punished for that. So it's like, you know, God's gonna do the same thing. So the more I kept reading about disobedience and things like that, I got really excited. So but before we get on that, because I watched my previous episodes, and it was on half, some of those episodes were like a few months ago, like 6-8 months ago. And watching that person, like, it felt weird because it was still me, and it was me speaking about the season I was in. So I saw a shift in myself, if that makes sense. Like, I was watching, like, that was still me. That was still Valerie. Those are the words. But what I noticed is, like, depending on the season I'm in, it feels different. Like, it still felt weird just watching myself back and hearing the things. I was like, in my head, I literally remember saying, I was like, wow, she didn't know much. Little did she know what was coming. Like, in each episode, I was saying, like, wow, like, I'm speaking about these things, but, like, it was after the fact, like, I went through it more. So, like, every topic I would speak about, granted, I thought I healed from it or overcame it or something, but God would have me relearn something else within those topics. I'm like, every time I was watching it, and I would think about it to, like, what trial, tribulation I went through, I was like, yo, I spoke up about that little did I know what was coming. So it was like, felt weird watching myself back, but I just wanted to say that because I was watching my episode back. So I have some, if you see me looking at my phone a lot, I apologize because I have some talking points because I don't like to, I don't want to miss anything in this episode because I, when I tell you, God opened my mind to things he wanted me to share in this episode and things like that. So I wanted to talk about the first person who honestly was obedient to God. And that was the ultimate obedience. And that was Mary. Mary's yes led us to where we are today. So we wouldn't have Jesus if she didn't say yes. Granted, God probably could have picked someone else, but he picked Mary for a reason. But also, he gave Mary the choice to say no. Like, she could have said, no, I don't want to birth your son. I don't want to go through the ridicule or eyes on me. Mary could have acted in her flesh, but she loved God and knew what God was entrusting her with, something that's hard. Like, she was going to birth the Messiah. Like, her son was going to die to save other ungrateful people. Let's just be honest, because as humans, we're very ungrateful. We didn't deserve God to send his son for us. We didn't really did not deserve it, but he still did it. Like, he loved us that much. So why are we sitting in here not listening to him? Like, when I tell you, God convicted me so heavy with this topic, because every day we are sinning against God when we're not listening to him. It tells us, the Bible tells us not to curse. Half of us are cursing. The Bible tells us not to gossip. Half of us are a gossip. We're not listening to the Bible. And when you're not listening to things in scripture, we are being disobedient and sinning against God. And what God did to people who were disobedient to him in the Old Testament wasn't at all how he treats us now. Like, God gives us so much grace and mercy, and we take advantage of it every single day. But if you read what he did, the consequence that people did in the Bible for not listening to him and his rules and what he wanted, people died. I'm gonna just put that straight. Like, people died for being disobedient to God. Like, he gave punishment accordingly. Like, he was not shy to let people know when he was in the wrong. But we're out here just doing what we want because we want to. And I'm a victim to that. Like, so many times I will hear a word from God and I wouldn't listen to it. Or I would read something in the Bible. I'm like, I can't find it. Like, you don't mean that, God. Like, it's new times. But, like, the Bible doesn't change. It's one thing that stays time after time, stays the same time after time. So if he was telling us to do something back in that day, we still have to do it now. So that was a little tangent because it's so important. Like, it is so important not like to read your word and dive. And this is, I'll be honest, this is like the first time in my life in this season where I actually have a hunger to read my Bible. Like, I'll be honest. Sometimes I was reading just because I could, just to read. And yeah, there was parts, season in my life where I was learning things and things like that. I was studying, but it wasn't consistent. Like, I wasn't consistently seeking after God. I wasn't consistently yearning for God to read his word. Like, or let's say there was one season in my life where I did not open my Bible at all just because I felt like I wasn't hearing from God. So I'm like, if he's not listening to me, why do I need to sit in his word? That sounds so bad, but like, that's honestly the truth. And when I tell you, in that season, I felt emptiness. I felt so empty and alone because I was allowing my flesh to win. This is not even in my notes. This is not even my notes, but okay, I guess we're going there. Because at the bottom, I literally said, I did tell him to do this. I said, Holy Spirit, take over. So I guess he's taking over. So there were seasons in my life where I was that girl yearning from like a prophetic word. I needed that prophetic word to like know something. I'm like, I need to know. Like, that means God is listening. So it's like, I was yawning for those. If like there was a service or something, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get a word from God because I've been doing what I was supposed to do. So when I wouldn't get a word or someone wouldn't speak into me or anything like that, and it's crazy because this was talked about during Bible study, and I was like, whoa, like, that is me. I felt, well, it was one of those movies, I guess, saying, ouch. I was like, ouch, thank you. I was like, but so many times for me, I know I was literally waiting to hear from God, from other people, to know that I was doing something good, like, to just know God was listening to me when that shouldn't have been the case. Because he was listening all the whole time, but I didn't, because I wasn't hearing him in my alone time, I thought he wasn't listening. And there are we're going to go through some season where we don't hear from God, but a form of obedience is it's when you keep pushing even though you don't hear from him while you're steady. Because God don't always have to speak to us. And that's something I had to learn the hard way. Because since I was seeking it for other people, I got discouraged. I'm like, I'm over here praying, crying to you, journaling in your word, but you're not speaking to me, God. Like, what am I? Like, I literally can feel myself like wanting to cry right now because I'm like, God, why are you speaking to me? You're speaking to other people. You're speaking life into them. You're like, people are receiving all these amazing prophecy. Have you forgotten me, God? Like, I was a faithful servant. I'm doing what you tell me to do. I'm in your word. I'm studying things like that. But like, when I was reading my word, I wasn't reading my word to learn. I was reading my words to, like, I was seeking God. Not seeking, how do I say this? I was reading my words so I could hear from God, but not like to tell me what I'm doing, but to hear God say, it goes back to the affirmation thing. It's like, I wanted God to tell me I was doing good. See, that affirmation is deep. It even steepens this episode. But I wasn't reading my word because I love God enough to just do it and be in his presence. I was seeking, I wanted something from him. So because it goes back to another thing where I always, when I want something bad enough, it doesn't matter. Like I had my eyes set on it and I want it and I need it in that moment. So I had that mindset of needing God, just needing him to speak. Like, but it wasn't like I need God to speak, to lead me, like guide me. I just wanted him to speak, just to speak. And he wasn't going to do that because it wasn't genuine. I don't know where, I think I heard this in the podcast, where it's like there are believers and there's genuine believer, people who truly love God and is eager to just know more of him and get to know more of him and not just seeking something for ourselves. And I was just a believer. I wasn't a genuine believer, if I'm being honest. Because I was still doing things that the Bible was telling me not to do. Like, I was still gossiping. I was still talking about people. I was still seeking validation from the world when the Bible tells. I was being a disobedient servant, a disobedient believer, plain and simple as that. So during those seasons where I was eager for prophetic word, and when I didn't get it, it was time after time, season after season, when I wasn't like getting a word from God or I felt like God wasn't speaking, I gave up. But that shouldn't have been the case. I should have kept seeking, even though he wasn't speaking. Because even when he's not speaking to it, he's still working things out. And I learned this with Nehemiah when he wanted to go build a wall. I said the world. The wall. He wanted to go build the wall. And he asked God to, like, give me a piece to know this. Or put it on the, give me favor with the king. And God did that. Granted, he didn't, like, audibly speak to Nehemiah in that moment, but it came to fruition when Nehemiah went to went to the king, and the king saw how destroyed it was, and and he wanted to go build that wall for God's people. He wanted to do God's work. Like, he was passionate about it so much he was destroyed, but God gave him favor with the king. The king released him. Back in the day, that wasn't something normal for him. The king would just be letting people go do God's work. Like, it was King Xerxes. I was talking to my friend Axel about it. I'm like, that king, granted, he didn't really serve God or believe God like that, but he was faithful to God's people, those people who literally had a genuine love for God. King Xerxes was was nice to them, but that wasn't the king. God put it on that king's heart because they had favor with God. So it's like, even within that moment, like, what's it called? Nehemiah didn't have to be, he didn't really, if he was to act on his flesh and just be like, okay, I want to build a wall, I'm going to go build a wall without like asking God for permission, like to go do it, it wouldn't have been in God's name. It would have been because it would have been something selfish, but he was doing it to honor God. So God honored that. So within his obedience, God honors that. He sees it. God don't always have to speak to us. And that's something, because I know that last episode I was talking about like hearing the voice of God, but in this episode, in like in your waiting season, there are times God's not going to speak to you, but he's watching to see what you do in those moments of silence. When you're truly in his presence and he's not speaking, but you keep pushing and you keep seeking him day after day, even though he's not audibly speaking to you or giving you a prophetic word, that's obedience. That's obedience. And God loves that. He honors that. Because even what I was reading in the book of Ezra, and I love Ezra. I think I found my guy in the Bible, because I'm in the story. I didn't even finish it yet, but I got to, let me see if I have it here in my notes. I wrote it in my journal. But in the book of Ezra, it was to the part where he was serving King Zerteg, where he had such a yearning for God and a deep love that the king honored that. Like, oh, I need my notebook. I think I can remember. But like, he sought after God earnestly. Like, he made it his mission. He wanted to get to know God on a deeper level, and nothing was stopping him. And because the king saw that, the king blessed God's people. And I was sitting in my, doing my devotional time when I was writing, I was like, I literally said to God, I'm like, God, I want to be so deep in your word. I want to be doing your work so much that when other people see it, they have no choice but to bless your kingdom because of my faithfulness and my obedience and my love for God, for you, my drive and things like that. Because Ezra had a drive for God like none other. Like, he was in his word. And also, and it says that Ezra didn't also just wanted to know God. He wanted to teach people about God. He wanted to speak out and tell the truth of God and God's love. So the king honored that. The king literally was like, I'm going to release you and a couple people for you to go spread the gospel, for you to do God's work. And if there's not people who are, I think he said, like, if people aren't listening to you, they're going to be banished. The king was punishing people for not listening to God, that for not wanting to follow God. And he wasn't even following God, which was ironic in the whole thing. But he let people go because of Ezra's obedience to God. When God spoke to him, he moved. He moved accordingly. So God honored that. God gave him favor with the king. So I was like, I want God's favor as well, but like, I also want that drive that Ezra had. Like, he loved God so much. Like, he made it his mission to get to know God, read his Bible, pray, and also teach what he learned. Because so many times it tells us, I think it said it in my study Bible at the bottom, like, we are to teach other people how the gospel. That's how people are saved. If you're keeping everything in yourself, like God is revealing to you, that's selfish. Granted, like, there are things, you know, you're supposed to keep hidden, but if you're steady and God is telling you, like, we're told to proclaim the gospel. That's the whole point. We are, and I always say I hate teaching, but that stems from other things. So we're going to get into another episode, but that's me being disobedient because God tells us to teach and spread the gospel and things like that. And me not wanting to do that and not wanting to help God's people reach to him is selfish and disobedient because he tells us to. Me not wanting to do that is my own fleshly desire. That's my own flesh need. Like, that's my own flesh. That's not my spirit. Because my spirit is going to want to teach other people about this God I love. This God that has been helping me. This God has been protecting me. So now he's teaching. He's working on that. We're going to say that for another episode because I have so much about that. It's amazing. So back to me. So the one incident I wrote here that was a sign of obedience, even though it didn't look pretty, was I've been looking for a job. So yeah, I have a job already. I have a full-time job. I'm a social worker. Great, lovely. But I've been praying to God for increase and things like that. I'm like, God, like I want more money. Like, granted, you've been providing for things and me like that. But I'm feeling like I feel like the need to work more. I don't know why. Sometimes I'm a little crazy. But so I was applying to places. I don't even know how many. You know how on Indeed, you just go apply places and Sunday. I'm like, God, if this is not in your, I always pray this. God, if this is not in your will, it will not work out. Like, it won't work out. Like, I won't get no interview. I won't get nothing. Like, it just, that just means you don't want me to work. And then there was times I really didn't get any. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. But I applied to be a waiter. I don't know why, guys. I don't even like waiting on people. I'm not patient. Carrying food around just doesn't sound pleasing to me. But I applied anyway because I wanted money. So I got an interview. Red Robins. I was like, I don't know where it was. It was Red Robins. And I was on my way there. I literally had took in my lunch break to go to this interview because I was working from home. And I was like, I got dressed up because, you know, you're supposed to look nice. You're going to a job interview. I got dressed up, got in my car, put it in the GPS. Tell me why I was like not even halfway. I think I was like 10, 12 minutes away. And on my drive there, I just heard God telling me to go to this person. And I know her from my past. I used to work there. It's the bakery. But so I just hear him go to Miss Tracy. Go to Miss Tracy. I'm like, why? Like, I don't want to work at the bakery. Like, I've already worked there. Like, I don't want to work there. So, but he kept saying, go to Miss Tracy. So I was under the impression to go there. So I was like, you sure, God? I'm literally on my way to an interview. And he kept saying, go to Miss Tracy. And I kept hearing. I'm like, okay. So I turned the GPS off. First, I parked, actually, what I kept hearing. I'm like, wait, you sure? Like, I'm supposed to be at this interview in 10 minutes. Like, but he, so I turned the GPS. I'm like, I don't need that. I know where I'm going. So I went to the bakery, and I was under the impression of I was just to ask her if she knew someone for a job. Like, I was just like, I went there, I'm like, hey, do you know anyone hiring? Like, do you know anyone in need of, like, an employee or something little? It's like, I'm just wanting to work one day a week, something like, because I already have a full-time job. And she's like, yeah, okay, I'll let you know. And then later on, like, I think a few minutes in the conversation, she's like, do you want to work here? And I'm like, it's an option? Y'all look fully staffed. She's like, yeah. Like, you can come back and work here. I'm like, that's not what I really wanted. Because, like, so many times in our flesh, we think, like, going back, the looks don't look good because we're told to keep going forward and moving forward and things like that. But when she offered me the job, I'm like, I felt at ease. I'm like, you wanted me to work here? You could have just said that. I had to apply to all these places. But within that, getting the job, some things were worked that, like, some things were mentioned that I could do and things like that. So it's like, that's why you wanted me to come back here to do some things for you. So it's like, I said yes, obviously. I love the bakery. It's not easy, but it's easy. Like, I'm comfortable. But at the same time, I'm uncomfortable because now I have to wake up early and I'm not a morning person. So it's like, that's the uncomfortable part. It's going to push me to, like, have to get up early and be more strategic with my time. So that's the challenge there. We're figuring out the kinks. But yeah, so I could have not listened to God. And then now I wouldn't have the bakery. It's a great job. Love the people there. I love talking to people. Granted, I have to have some restraint with myself with the big goods. But I'll just give it to other people, you know? So that I don't suffer it. But so, yeah. So that was one time where I actually, like, listened to God, even though my flesh was telling me not to. And it wasn't easy because I could have went to this waitering job, could have gotten it, make more money. But then I would have been overworked and very tired and have no time for him. This way, I have no excuse. Like, I work one day a week. It's flexible. It's on a Saturday, my day off regardless. I work early in the morning. I'm done by lunchtime. I still have time to do things, hang out with friends, still have a life. Come here and record the podcast. Like, I still have time to do so. Imagine if I had went the other way just because it looked better than what God was presenting to me, you know? So that's one instance where I felt like my obedience really paid off. And if I didn't listen, it would have went the other way and it just wouldn't have been pretty. Granted, God probably would have worked something out where I would have really been miserable. And it still ended up back at the bakery. But this way, you're not going through detours, you know? You just go straight to where he wants you to go. So, yeah. So, obedience has its perks, guys. It's very favorable. God, you have favor with God, things like that. So, I love it. Now, let's talk about when I was learning about Moses. I'm telling you guys, in this season, I realized how important it is to read your Bible. Because I never, like, you hear the story of Moses all the time. But I didn't realize Moses was also disobedient to God. Yeah, I didn't know that. I just thought, you know, you hear Moses, he was faithful. He listened to God. He freed God's people. Moses did his thing. Like, that's a law of Moses that's called where it just, it's like the Ten Commandments, but more like a sense where it's a bunch of rules. Not a bunch of rules, but it's rules telling you how to live as a Christian, a believer, or as someone who loves Christ. It's just, so I'm like, Moses is great. Like, he listened to God. He, although he didn't want to, man had a stutter problem. Like, I related to Moses so much. Like, because I also don't feel qualified to speak because I do have a stutter problem and I mispronounce words all the time. Like, and that was something I struggled with before coming with this podcast. And like, I'm telling you, if I wasn't listening to God, knowing God's voice and be actually just, but also, oh, because you also have to listen and obey. Ooh, I think I took a picture from my study Bible because I like that. I'm like, because so many times we just think we just hear God, but we're not obeying what God said. So let me see if I can find it. It says, second, this is talking about Ezra. It says, Ezra was the total package. First, he studied God's law. The word of God is superiorly, we back to that word again, authoritative. We're going to go with that because its author is the king of creation. If the divine ruler of the universe has something to communicate to you, you can bet it's important. Ezra accepting this was determined to know God's word through and through. Second, he obeyed it. Ezra wasn't content to be a mere academic. Studying the Bible was failing to let it affect his beliefs, characters, and action. God wants his word to guide our decision-making and to set the agenda for our lives too. Merely knowing it is insufficient. We must live in submission to it. It says third. That's for actually, before we go to the third point, that is so important because like I said, back in certain seasons of my life, I was literally just reading the word to read. It wasn't making fruit. Like, I'm going back to the sermon I saw with Mr. Philip Anthony Mitchell, where he was talking about when God went to, I think it was Israel or Jerusalem. I'm not sure. I forgot the right part. But he stumbled upon this fig tree. That's the backstory. But with fig tree, it wasn't in season, but it had leaves, but it had no fruit. So let's go back now. In so many seasons, I recognized myself as a fig tree. I had leaves because I was doing what I was supposed to do. I looked like the good Christian. But I wasn't bearing any fruit, like, because I wasn't obeying the word. I wasn't actually diving into the word and like letting it affect my life and how I moved forward. Like I wasn't saying I'm like a horrible person out here. No, but like I wasn't letting the word I was reading or the things I was doing bear fruit in my actual life, if that makes sense. I was a tree with leaves, but no fruit actually coming. Like, I was a healthy tree. There were things you can see characteristic, but there was no fruit coming out of me. And that is something I want in the season. I want to be a tree that bear fruit. Like, I want to read the word. I want to be so engulfed in God's word and God's like, and getting to know him that I have no choice but to bear fruit. Like, that's it. That's all I'm gonna say. So we need to read the word and let it affect our life. You can't just read the Bible, just say you read the Bible. Cause at that point you might as well just read any other book. I'm just being frank. That sounds a little harsh. I mean, you know what? I'm going to take that back. God, I'm so sorry. Yes, it could be a step when you start reading the Bible, but the more you keep going, I'll say this. Yes, the more you keep going, keep practicing that skill. Because I'm not going to lie. Sometimes reading the Bible is hard. Sometimes you don't want to. But when you push yourself, make sure you're not just reading to read it in that moment. Actually, like, even if it's just one verse, study that verse. God sees that obedience. God honors that. In the moments when you don't want to do something and you still do it in spite of, he sees that. And this is to tie into the whole waiting season, because we're so many times we're waiting for God to do something and we're not actually putting action to it. Like, we're not doing the work. We're just waiting for God to do it. And God had to humble me within my waiting season, because there are so many things I'm waiting for. But at the same time, I wasn't doing the work. I just expected God to hand it to me, like, here you go, Valerie, you read your Bible this day, here you go. No, like, we have to keep going. regardless of what our flesh feels. And that's something I promise you, I'm only saying it because I know what it feels like to stop going, to stop running the race, to just throw it. I'm just quoting Jeremiah over here. I'm sorry. I just hear his voice in my head. I need to take it out. No, we need to keep pushing, okay? Despite what we feel, because I'm not going to lie. There were times, I still remember, I literally have this guy, I don't know why the Holy Spirit is doing this to me, but I literally see myself in bed right now. And there was this moment where my Bible, mind you, my Bible is open next to my bed. But because I was so tired, like, God, I did a lot today. Like, I'm exhausted. I went to church. I did this and this and that church. I had to speak to these people. I had work. I'm exhausted. But mind you, this is why the Holy Spirit is so great. He's literally showing me right now, I'm in my bed. I'm on my phone. Mind you, there's a Bible app on my phone. So even if I didn't want to leave my bed because I was so, quote unquote, tired, I could open the Bible app. But no, I wasn't too tired to scroll on TikTok for an hour. But I'm tired. But mind you, my TV is also playing. If I say I didn't want to go on my phone, you can literally look up a sermon on your TV because I have a Roku and it will read it to you. I could have prayed. Maybe I may be too tired to read my Bible, but I could have prayed. But so many times we let our flesh determine how our relationship with God moves. And that should not be the case. I'm getting frustrated. Every time I come on here and I get frustrated, I already got frustrated at myself first. So like the more I talk about it, it's like, as human, we're so selfish and inconsiderate when it comes to our relationship with God. We find it, like with any other person, we put the work into that relationship. But with God, we don't work hard enough. We don't put enough work in it, but that's the ultimate relationship. It gave you life. He forgives you time and time. So many times he's telling me, so many times we abuse that grace when that should not be the case. Because again, back in the Old Testament time, God had no mercy sometimes. Like, he would just, boom, plague. Oh, you're going to die. But back to Moses, I think I went on the tantrum and I somehow ended up at Ezra. But with Moses, Moses was obedient. He did what God told him. But there was a moment in time when God told, because the Israelite was thirsty. And I wish I have it here. Oh, I wish I have the passage. It was bugging me that I couldn't find this, but I found it. So it's in Numbers 28. This is after, he's in the temple and God speaks to him. God says, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. So this is the part I kept getting stuck on because I'm like, it says Moses did as he was told. But listen, this is why it's very important to pay attention to the Bible. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them." When I was studying this, I got stuck. I'm like, why is he punishing him? It says Moses did as he was told, but he didn't. God literally instructed him to speak to the rock over there and it will pour out its water. And then Moses, he did. That's all God said. Just speak to the rock. That's it. But Moses, he made it seem like he was the one providing them water. So that's what got angry. He did not speak to the rock. He was speaking to the people. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we," him, Aaron, "bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice. God never told him to strike. So because of his disobedience and because he wanted to show the Israelites, I feel like Moses had a little bit of pride in that moment. Granted, he's still a great man, but he had a little bit of pride in him because he wanted to take the glory himself. He wanted the people to praise him for giving them water when he never did that. That was God. So because of his disobedience, the land Moses been working so hard to get these people to, he's not going to see it. And then if you read, spoiler, sorry, if you read more, I was very, like, I needed to read more because this is my Bible plan, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, what happened? And then I scrolled down and said the death of Aaron. Because of Aaron's disobedience, I got sad for Aaron. I'm like, he went up to a rock and died. Like, he went up the mountain and, like, God was like, you're done. Like, his time had reached. He wasn't going to make it to the land. And God just said, you died. And then he just went, poof. And that was it. So I was like, your disobedience has come with a consequence. And God had a humble, like, you know how many times you were disrespectful to your grandmother and you got reprimanded? Yeah. You know how many times we don't listen to your parents, you know. Nowadays parents are a little soft, you know. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I'm not, love y'all, but y'all it's just y'all a little bit more gentle. But back in the day, you know, we got punished. I'm black and African. I got whoopings. I'ma just say that. I got whoopings. How do I say this? Because of their disobedience. But there, let's say Moses was also obedient in the beginning. He did what he's supposed to do. And that's so many times we do that. We delay our, let's say God reveals something to you. You're going to get this new car. But we don't, there's a but behind that. I'm going to give you that new car. But sometimes within our own humility, we try to go above God or go against God and try to do it ourselves so we get the glory. When God said, no, I will give you a car this year. But because God said it, I'm like, I'm going to get a car. I might as well do it myself. But then we get the glory. So, yes, we can start out. Imagine being so obedient to God, doing what you're supposed to do in your word. And God give you this thing you're supposed to get. But because of our disobedient, God either has to take it away to humble us or he delays it. Just because we wanted to get the glory ourselves or wanted to do it within our own humanity, which is not the case. So, be patient in the way. I'm telling you, waiting season is not easy. It doesn't matter what it is you're waiting for, a boyfriend, car, a house, debt-free. It's not easy. We have to remain steadfast. And within that waiting season, you also have to be obedient, even when God don't speak. And that is something he kept like reminding him of. You have to keep going, Valerie. He calls me Val. He doesn't say my government because, you know, that's my father. That's my father. He called me my nickname. Sorry, I got slighted there. But yeah, he's like, Valor, Val, you have to keep going. Because even in then, I'm still listening and I'm still working. We don't know what God knows. It's just impossible. So I need to stay the race. I need to stay the course because it's important. We don't know at the end of our waiting. Granted, I feel like we'll always be waiting on God because once we leave here, we're waiting to get up to heaven, to glory. So we're always waiting. It's what we do within that waiting that matters. It's how you approach your waiting season. It's how you make the most of your waiting season, how you honor God within that waiting season that means the most. So when you feel like God isn't listening, just know he is. He may not be speaking right away, but eventually he will. Silence does not mean denial. Like, and that's the beauty of God. And that's something I'm learning to appreciate in the season. And it's something quite beautiful. So, see, I had all these points and I didn't even say it. Like, the Holy Spirit took over, which is fine. So, I think I said other part. But, yeah, so stay steadfast in your waiting. I'm going to end on this. Like, it matters. You're obedient to God. It's not just for yourself as well. And I keep saying this. It's for other people. And also, your disobedience can cost someone else. Because, I didn't forget. Even David. David was a man after God's heart. But he was a very disobedient man. But it's what he did after that. Is how he came to God to apologize and things like that. Because I was reading, and David, yeah, he had a past. But David's disobedience cost other people their life. It was First Chronicles. I'm gonna read this. In First Chronicles, David. Why I get that? This was when he was king, and he wanted to do a census. I had to look up like. I'm like, why is it a bad thing? Like, want to count people, but it wasn't a thing that was normal for people to do back then. So he wanted a census of all the people in Israel, and he was warned against not to do that. Cause I'm gonna just read it. There it is. First Chronicle 21, verse. It's the whole thing. I'm not gonna read all of that, but I'll just say it. David wanted to do a census of the whole place, Israel, and he sent Joab, or I think that's what his name was, to go do it. And Joab literally replied, saying, may the Lord increase the number of his people 100 times over. But why, my Lord, the king, do you want to do this? Are they not all your servant? Why must you cause Israel to sin? He was warning him, you're causing Israel to sin right now by having me do this. But because of his pride and because of his humanity, he wanted the glory. He wanted it for himself. But he insisted. So Joab went and did what his master said. And he came back and told him. But it says in 21:7, God was very displeased with the census and he punished Israel for it. Then David said to God, David was after God's own heart. David said to God, I have sinned greatly by taking the census. Please forgive my guilt for doing this foolish thing. Then the Lord spoke to God, David's seer. I guess he has the end with God. This was the message. Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you three choices. And he gave him the three choices. You choose 3 years of famine, 3 months of destruction by the sword of your enemies, or 3 days of severe plagues as the angel of the Lord brings devastation throughout the land of Israel. Joab warned David, like, you were having Israel to sin. So the third choice was that. And I read somewhere where it's like, David, because he knew God loved him, he had a bit of favor with God, he took the easy way out when he didn't pick a choice. He said, I am in a desperate situation, David replied to God, but let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. And I think he thought God was going to take it easy on him. And he, instead of picking an option, he wanted God to pick an option for him. And God picked the worst one. He sent the angel of death to destroy Jerusalem. And when David seen that, that's when he came actually with a humble heart and apologized and took responsibility for his action. I feel like if he had done that in the beginning, this wouldn't have been the case. God wouldn't have had to destroy Jerusalem. But again, our disobedience have consequences that will hurt other people. So, and it says in 17, and David said to God, I am the one who called for the censor. I'm the one who has sinned and done wrong. But these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done? Oh, Lord, my God, let your anger fall against me and my family, but do not destroy your people. So even because we're going to sin every day, it's inevitable. There's no one perfect. Only Jesus was. But it's how you come to God after your sin, after your disobedience. David then came to God with a heavy heart. And I feel like I'm always apologizing to God. Every time I've looked back at my journey, every time like I want to start, I always apologize to God, because I'm pretty sure I done run within that moment, within moments I've yet to see as sin. I like to come to God to apologize. And for some reason I kept saying to God, I'm sorry. I'm always coming to you and apologizing for doing wrong when and what I learned. But like, God sees that. If you're coming with him, like genuinely apologizing, because we're going to sin. It's like, it's sad truth. We're going to sin. It's inevitable sometimes, but you just got to try your best. Honestly, you just got to try your best not to, but just coming to God with a humble and genuine heart, he's going to honor that. So I want to end on that. There's this song I've been listening to. I wanted to give someone like a motivation, because your waiting season is not easy at all, no matter what it is you're waiting for. But just know God is with you the whole time, the whole single time. And God reminded me of that. Like, he's never left me, like, at all. In any season of my life, when I was in a pit, he never left me. When I was suicidal, he never left me. And there's a song, it's called Always On Time, because he's an always on time guy. So whatever you're waiting for, just know it's going to come to pass. And it says, Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. No, you were always on time. And Jesus, when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. And you were always on time. And it goes to saying you're always on time. And then there's this part. This is my favorite. I think it's the chorus. I'm not a singer. But it says, there's never been a day, there's never been a minute, there's never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through. So God, so I worship you. So when you think God isn't there and you're sad and you're feeling empty in those dark places, just know he's always there. It literally says that there's not been a minute, a moment, even in your happy moments, he's there cheering you on. When you're in that pit, in that valley, going through the fire, going through the ring of trials and tribulation, going through the spiritual warfare, he's there. And he had to remind me, he was there with me during my suicide attempt. When I thought I wouldn't matter on this earth, he was there with me each time, telling me I matter. He was there with me, wiping my tears, wanting me to keep going because of what was ahead of me. And I'm so grateful for that. Because there are so many people that don't make it within those attacks, but he kept me. And I will always be grateful to God. And I will always want to honor him because of that, because I am here because of him. Like, I really could have been gone. And he reminded me of that. And that's something I never want to forget. So he's always there. He was there with me in my spiritual warfare when I was literally felt like I was fighting the literal devil. He was there with me, holding my hand up and trying to defeat the, and defeating the enemy. So he's going to be there for you as well. Whatever battle it is you're facing, keep hanging on, keep listening to his voice, keep following his word, keep diving deep into his Bible and get to know God on a level so much that the enemy, he's going to get angry of you. He's going to try to attack you. Because the enemy, one thing he's going to want to do is slow you down. So keep going. I can't say that enough. So I really hope this episode blesses you guys. And please motivate someone. If you know someone struggling as well, motivate them. Speak life into them. Send them a scripture. Pray for them. Hug them. Because in the waiting, it comes with a lot of pain and a lot of questions. But God is there to answer them. So be a blessing unto someone. And I truly hope this blessing bless you. If you know it can bless someone else, send it to them. So please don't forget to like, share, comment, and follow the page for more reels and things. And I'm so excited for this season of where God is taking this podcast. I can't wait for him to speak more into me so I can speak onto you guys and be a teacher in a sense. But I hope my stories and my lessons motivate you as well. And I'll see you guys next week.